Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on social at BDon300. And today, we're going to be talking about last week's victory against Central Michigan, and then we are going to get you all ready for, in my eyes, the biggest game in a while to happen here in South Bend, and definitely the biggest game of the season, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. And Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, it's the marquee game of the weekend. There is an amazing slate of college football this weekend. I'm super pumped about it. But this is the cherry on top of it all. And it's our boys taking on Ohio State, a team that has given me nightmares. I have never seen Notre Dame beat Ohio State. I think it all changes this weekend. But before we get into that game, let's take a trip down memory lane to last weekend. It wasn't our best showing. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't overwhelmingly happy with this game. I thought that we allowed them to stay in the game really until the start of the fourth quarter. You win the game 41-17 with a 10-0 fourth quarter. So you're only up by two touchdowns on a team in Central Michigan that it's crazy. I was so shell-shocked when we got to game day and Bert Emanuel wasn't playing. It was Jace Bauer. First game in college football, first start, Notre Dame Stadium. Like, hey, how you doing? The kid came out and he played a pretty decent game. 10 for 20, 137 yards through the air. And then on the ground, he did get a rushing touchdown. So he also, I think the thing for him in a game like this, he had no turnovers. So important for him. I think that we played our starters for way too long in this game. Obviously, they brought in Angeli and the young guns, and they were throwing it with them. I mean, they gave him two pass attempts, so it wasn't just like run him out there and hand it off. Audric Estime, he has to be in the conversation for the Heisman. I mean, 20 carries, 176 yards, 8.8 yards a carry, a touchdown. He is just an absolute beast. And I think the number one person you have to obviously watch out for as an opposing defender. I know Sam Hartman is great talent, but we don't have the receiver room that we've had in years past. I know we have Holden Stays in the tight end room, and the receivers are starting to make plays. I mean, Chris Thomas had a great game. Jaden Thomas had a decent game. Merriweather almost had 100 yards and a touchdown. I mean, they're getting better. But it's not like we have a Michael Floyd or a Jeff Samardzija or a Chase Claypool that we had in that room. And even in the tight end room, it's not like we have the Cole Kmetz of the past or Michael Meyer. It's a little bit different of a cast. And I think one thing I saw just throughout this week, and it was an Ohio State podcast talking about how is this team and nobody's going to beat Ohio State. The Ohio State team, I mean, both teams are a little bit off the pace of what they are in years past as far as star power. But who the fuck cares when you're winning football games, right? Somebody's always got to go this week. And, yeah, I don't know. Back to this game, though. On the defensive side of the ball, 17 points, not terrible. There was just some drives that you expected them to get off the field. And Central Michigan was playing that boa constrictor ball. They were really trying to control the clock. I have to pull up the exact time of possession real quick to see. But this is a game that should be like 35-25 in our favor. And it was about 50-50. We beat them by about a minute. So Central Michigan slowed the game down, in turn slowing us down. I thought this was a game that we'd be able to hang 50 and a game that we'd have like 35 at the half, and we're sitting there going into the half and it is 21-14. It's just a weird, weird first half. Turned it up in the second half, ended up winning that one 20-3. But it might have been a spot where the guys maybe didn't want to do this or didn't want to do that, because you know it's a team that we know we can beat unless we have an absolute catastrophic day. You don't want people to get injured. You don't want to give too much away. I don't know what it was, but it was an underwhelming performance that still resulted in a W, so I can't be too disappointed. We're 4-0 going into the biggest game of our season, and that's really all that you can ask for from this team. Sam Hartman has been chucking the ball all around the yard. He was 16-26 for 330, three touchdowns. I mean, we just haven't seen a quarterback that just walks out there on Saturday and does it with relative ease like this guy does. 16 completions for 330 yards is 12 yards a pop and an 87 QBR. Like, he is simply the best quarterback that we've seen in a very long time at Notre Dame, and I only wish we had him longer. It sucks that it's only 1 year, but 1 year is better than no years. And if you saw how Tyler Buchner played on Saturday, he gained the starting job on Saturday and also lost the starting job on Saturday. Drew Pine played for Arizona State. They lost a pay game to Fresno State. So the state of the quarterback room, all things considered, is in the best spot that it can be. Sam Hartman is my quarterback, and I fucking love that. But it's going to be scary to see what we got to deal with next year. But I think that's why it's all systems go this year. It's get to the college football playoff, try and win a natty. And quarterback, running back, I'd take the two guys that we have over pretty much everyone, if not everyone in the nation. So for me, those are the two players of the game. Little bit of Sam, a little bit of SMA. And on the defensive side of the ball, it wasn't as clear cut of a great game for the defense. They did, you know, they bend but didn't break in the first half. They gave up 14 points. And then in the second half is when they really came into their own, only allowing 3 points. And that really is the point of the game where, you know, you expect Central Michigan to be going for it on fourth downs. I think Central Michigan was just conceding the fact they were not going to come back in this game and were punted. They had a couple sad punts in the fourth quarter. But defensively, we'll go Jack Kaiser. 10 tackles, 6 solos, a sack, and a TFL. Just a guy that embodies just the type of player you want to see play at Notre Dame. A little undersized, doesn't have all the speed, the skill set, the attributes, but he just goes out there and he wins with effort. Yeah, 6'1", 223. He's not small, but he's not the biggest linebacker. And I just like the way he plays football. Another thing, too, the safeties continued to lay the hammer last week. Thomas Harper was in there with 4, Xavier Watts with 5. Like, the safeties, I know I talked about them at length last week's show. Just really, really happy with the play that we've seen from the defense throughout the season. This was a rough first half and a great second half. So if I had to grade the defense, like, I'd say probably B, C plus. Wasn't our best performance enough for us to win the football game, and we'll need to be better next week, and I fully anticipate that they will. It looked like the game before you play Ohio State, in my eyes. It wasn't our best performance, but this is a pay game. We pay Central Michigan to come play us. You know you're going to find a way to win this football game. It's just a matter of by how many. And I did get bit on the first half spread. I thought, you know, I was like, you know what? I said, everything I said on the podcast leaned towards me thinking that we were going to blow them out in the first half and it'd be closer in the second half. It was closer in the first half, and I wouldn't say we blew them out in the second half, but we put a little bit more pressure on them in the second half, 21-20 points. So we had less points, but the defense answered the call, kept them out of the end zone, and we are on to Ohio State. You saw all my angry tweets during the game. Like, I was like, fuck, get them out of the game. A little concerned about a hit that happened on Sam Hartman late in that game. Was really mad about it in the moment. I obviously don't have inside information on whether or not Sam Hartman whether there was like significance to that hit, if it was something that he was really shaken up about. But I do know that Angeli came in the game almost immediately after Sam Hartman took that hit. So was glad to see that. Didn't want to see him in the game that late, but it is what it is. And we're on to Ohio State. In my eyes, as you look at the schedule for what it is, right? You have Ohio State on the schedule. You have USC on the schedule. And you have Clemson, who initially we thought would be, I mean, maybe they'll get back. They play Florida State this week. They can change their whole season with one game this week against Florida State. But we're hosting them. Ohio State's the 6th-ranked team. We're the 9th-ranked team. We're 4-0. They're 3-0. Ohio State coming into this game, according to the nerds at ESPN, they say that we have a 34% chance to win, the lowest by far of any game that we've had this season. They're at a 65% chance. And the line is 3. It started at 3.5, and the look-ahead line was something closer to 10. So the books have adjusted to a less than ideal start for Ohio State and a faster start, or just maybe we're out kicking our coverage and they think we're a little bit better than we actually are. Well, I think it's bullshit. The wrong team is favored in this game. We're not losing this game. I mean, these are the type of games that you live for as a college football fan. You guys all know throughout the first 4 weeks of the season, like, it's hard to get up for a game against Central Michigan. Navy's a rivalry game, so that's a little bit different. I won't dog that one. I love always playing against Navy. I think it always presents its different challenges, and it's just a beautiful game, a game that I remember watching as a kid and watch every single year, and if it ever goes away, I would be sad. Tennessee State, a little bit different, absolute blowout. And NC State was a game that we all anticipated right as our first real test of this season. We passed the test with flying colors. You end up winning the game by 22 on the road. It's a game that had like a weather delay of like at least an hour. And I just think that this is the number one game on our schedule. Obviously, it's the next game, so it's the most important game to those guys in the locker room. They have the over-under set at 55. I don't care about an over-under in this game. I'll just get straight to it. I will be putting a couple of units to be determined, anywhere from 2 to 4 on Notre Dame Moneyline. I love these type of spots. I love when the world counts us out. I know if I had bet this game throughout my entire life, I'd probably be living in a shoebox. But it's new to the last few years. One of my favorite caches of all time was Clemson a few years ago when me and Ethan lived together, and Ethan still did the podcast with me, the former co-host. We lived together in college. Huge game. Clemson, Notre Dame. Like the fumble at the end. Ian Book had a great game. Fumbled into the end zone. Touchback. We find a way to get the ball back. Go to overtime. Whatever. We win this game. That is one of my favorite caches. And that game alone, because I had 100 on them like solo, I won. It was like 300 in return. But I had a parlay that was like a $250 free bet, like not a $250 free bet, like a $2.50 free bet. And it was just like 5 super dogs. And I think that there was like, I'd have to look at the day. There's no way I'd find the parlay. It was like 3 seasons ago. But there was like a bunch of nasty, nasty stuff in there. And the last leg, I set it up on purpose. Like it was throughout the day to be Notre Dame. So when they won that game was nuts. And I just think that in this spot, right, we're at home. This is the biggest game of the Marcus Freeman era for sure. I know we played them last year. Didn't really know who we were last year, right? I think this year we have a more defined identity. I think we can run the football. We can pass the football. We can play tough defense. We haven't gotten into a white-knuckle affair or a little slobber knocker, low-scoring game. I don't know how we would react in that game. I really, quite frankly, don't want to find out, but this offense, the way it's set up, we're averaging 500 yards a game. Like, come on now, 300 through the air, 200 on the ground. We have one of the top 5 backs in the nation. We have one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the nation. I know the receiver room and the tight end room leaves a little bit to be desired, but what better time to step up than against Ohio State in front of 80,000 screaming crazy Notre Dame fans, because it looks like we're not trying to let Ohio State fans into this game. And honestly, I don't care. So my mom would always say, fuck Ohio State. I don't want to see those fans at our game, in our fortress. So you're always going to have to worry about their running game. Travion Henderson, he's a all-conference level back, someone that they you know, they look to feed in these type of games, but he's only had half the amount of carries as Estime. And honestly, I'd have to look at the injury report for Ohio State. So, because they do have some dogs. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. Kyle McCord is not necessarily the best quarterback. Like, I would take Sam Hartman over this guy every day of the week and twice on Sunday, because this guy will literally never play football on Sunday. But that's bad. I'm not going to ever play football on Sunday. So let's see. Six out versus Western Kentucky. This is all stuff from a few weeks ago. It says it's Travion on it. Yeah, excited to be back after a foot injury. I mean, the one thing that kind of stinks about college football is you don't have a defined injury report. But if Marvin Harrison and Travion Henderson are in this game, because as you saw last week, I prepared for Bert Emanuel and we got no injury information. They even used Bert Emanuel for the Peacock picture of the game. Nothing to do with the game was Chase Bauer. It's Ohio State. I think it goes without being said. They always have weapons at the skill position players. They always have top quality defensive players, whether it's in the defensive backfield, the linebackers, or the defensive line. It is Ohio State, for Christ's sake. It goes without being said. I think they've had a little bit of a slow start, though. They did play a conference game early in the season. They played against Indiana. They win that one 23-3. Played against Youngstown State, win that one 35-7. And then I think last week was probably their best performance, winning the game 63-10 against Western Kentucky. Played one road game against Indiana, and in that game, they only scored 23 points. They did hold Indiana to 3 points, but Indiana's really just, they're not that good at football. We can call it for what it is. And I think that in this season, as crazy as this sounds, right, a loss in this game is not the end of the world for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They play Penn State. They still play Michigan at the end of the season, as they always do. And it's going to be tough for them to come into Notre Dame and win this game. But I don't think, I'll put it this way, I don't think the loser of this game is necessarily eliminated from the college football playoff. I also don't think that we will be the losing team in this game. I will say that. But in my eyes, this is not an elimination game. It is way too early in the season. It's only the fifth game for us and the fourth game for them. So while there will be higher stakes and the game has an upgraded level of importance, obviously if you win, it's a great resume win. It's not the end of the world for either team, but I don't think that we're going to have to worry about it no matter which way you look at it. On the defensive side of the ball, for us in this game, I think we just have to stick to our identity, right? We have to play tough defense, control the line of scrimmage. Our defensive backs fly all over the field, make plays. They get interceptions, and they've really impressed me at the safety position. I just think that the three guys that I've been mentioning the last 2 weeks, it doesn't matter which ones you use. They're interchangeable. I think that for us, it's a game that, you know, you're not going to be able to roll in there with 22 guys. We're going to have to use a couple, two, three deep on the defensive line. We're going to have to rotate, well, not necessarily rotate corners, but with the safeties all capable of making the plays that they do in Watts and Harper and DJ Brown. And then on top of that, you can't forget about Benjamin Morrison. Like, I just think that it's going to be a tough day for McCord. And as cliche as it sounds, you have to make this kid beat you. And I don't think he's capable of going toe-to-toe with Sam Hartman. I don't think there's anyone in this world that thinks he's capable of doing it, except for maybe him. You have to create pressure at the line of scrimmage. We have to have a pass rush with four, be able to utilize our defensive backs, because it's a deep room with a lot of talent. We need to be able to utilize those guys. And I think that in order for us to win this game, you have to keep Ohio State under 24 points. I think if if you allow this to get into a shootout, if our defense doesn't give us the type of performance that we need, I'm not saying we would lose the game, but I think that it's a little less comfortable. I think we have the opportunity in this game to control it from the outset and take it wire to wire. I don't think this is a game that, I mean, maybe there will be some anxious moments early, but I think we're able to pull away, and I think that they can win this game by 10 or 14 points. Now, we're underdogs in this game. It is what it is. That's why I like the money line. I'm not taking the plus three. I'll stick straight money line, and we'll go from there. But in my eyes, it's Sam Hartman. It's Audric Estime. It's whichever receiver would like to step up and have a big game. Chris Tyree had a great game last week. I think Jaden Thomas' size prevents, you know, matchup nightmares for the Ohio State defensive backs, for any defensive back. He's a monster. Hayden Stays is going to need to make some plays in this game. And it's going to have to be one of those games where you need a little bit of everyone. I don't think that we are as severely at, I don't think we're, you know, I don't think we're outmatched at all. I think in these type of games, like last year, outmatched. In the Fiesta Bowls that we played against Ohio State, probably outmatched. The Jalen Smith game, I'd say outmatched because you lose a guy like Jalen Smith, that turns the game on its head. But I don't know. There's nothing that, in my eyes, scares me about this Ohio State team, or at least in my eyes, it's more about us, right? If we play the brand of football that we've played through the first 4 weeks of this season, and I know it's against less than ideal, you know, competition, there's no reason why we don't win this game. And we should be able to win it with some style points. Not saying we're going to blow Ohio State up. It's probably not going to be like the Clemson game last year. I don't think it'll be 28-0 at halftime. But I wouldn't be too, like, it wouldn't be too out of the realm of possibilities for it to be like 21-10 or 21-14, 21-7, something like that. Like, I think that this is a game that we find a way to get to 40, it's ours. We might only even need 30. But it's Notre Dame. They're winning this game. Sam Hartman is – this is the type of game, too, for either guy, for Sam Hartman or for Audric Estime. This is the type of game that you can use to boost your Heisman portfolio. You can use to boost your NFL draft stock, all that stuff. And I think that in these games, you need your big players to make big plays. And I have no problem going to war with the guys that we got. It may not be our most talented roster that we've had in Notre Dame in the past few years, but I think that it's a team that they have it between the ears. They're a smart team, and they have the heart for it. And maybe I'm over-exaggerating. Maybe it's a closer game that we only win by a field goal or a touchdown. But at the end of the day, in my eyes, it doesn't matter. Find a way to get one more point than your opponent. That's all it comes down to. And for this one on the offensive side of the ball, I think that, well, it would be easy to say Audric Estime or Sam Hartman. I think that it has to be a receiver that steps up and has a big game, right? We could see the distribution, you know, be there. It could be a couple different guys that have good games. But I think that someone who has been severely overlooked in his time here at Notre Dame, he was a great running back and now he plays receiver, is Chris Tyree. He might be the fastest receiver that we have in the receiver room. And against Ohio State, you know you're going to need speed on the edges. You just know that that's what it's going to come down to. It's not like Michigan where you're going to be playing a lot between the tackles, playing as a team like Iowa. Ohio State always beats you with speed. And a guy like Chris Tyree has top-level speed. And I think that, in a way, I'd like to see him used in the ways that we wanted Braden Lindsey to be used. We have never really utilized our speed guy the right way since Will Fuller left. And I don't know, maybe it's because the recruits haven't been that level of player. We've had different profiles of receivers. But And I'm not saying Chris Tyree is a Will Fuller-esque receiver, but when it comes down to the fastest receiver in the room, you need him in a game like this. And I think this is a game that Chris Tyree, you could utilize him too on the end of rounds. Don't forget about the end of rounds. He's a former running back, but 100 all-purpose yards and at least one touchdown. If not my pregame player of the game. Obviously, you know you're going to need 300 and some clean football from Sam. You know you're going to need third down conversions from Audric Estime in the backs. But I think that one of the receivers needs to step up in this game, and I'm putting my money on Chris Tyree. On the defensive side of the football, it's going to be a team effort. But similar to what I said about the offensive side of the ball, you need your stars to step up in big games. And maybe I'm crazy for going wide receiver at DB, but I think Benjamin Morrison, and if Marvin Harrison Jr. plays in this game, obviously, would be a hell of a matchup to watch all day. And I think that for Benjamin Morrison, similar to how it could be a Heisman game for Estime or for Sam Hartman, this is the type of game that when they put those votes in at the end of the year for the Thorpe Award, they will remember. And I think Benjamin Morrison definitely gets an interception in this game. I know that's crazy to say, like, he's 100% going to get an interception, but he attacks the football so well. He's such, he's just quick on the ball. He makes quick plays on the ball. And I would be excited if he was able to even run that one back to the house. What kind of night would that be, right? Like, you get a pick six from the young corner. But I'll say an interception and a couple pass breakups and at least three tackles. Open field tackling is going to be huge. Like I said, they try to beat you on the edges. They're using as much of the field as they can. They run the spread offense. So they're trying to throw deep balls. They're trying to hit the flats. They're trying to hit everything in between. So it has the potential to be a high-scoring affair. I don't think the over's a bad bet. I just could care less in this game. I just want my team to win the game. That's all I care about. Score prediction, I will go 38-28. I'll say 38-28, Notre Dame, at Notre Dame Stadium. Marquee performances from Hartman, from Estime, from Morrison. I think that Morris Lufau could be poised to have another big week. Like, this is just a game that this is what college football is all about. It's not a rivalry. It's not a game that we play every year. But you know, two Midwest teams, Indiana, Ohio State, like, or Indiana, Ohio, it doesn't get much better than this. And some other games that I'm just going to pull up that should be of note that are in the top 25 if my internet wants to work. So Florida State takes on Clemson. Clemson's actually not ranked, but Clemson wins this game right here. Their season takes a totally different trajectory. Alabama takes on Ole Miss. Both teams are currently ranked behind us, but you got to think Ole Miss has as good of a chance as they'd ever had against Alabama in this game, and it should be a very good game. You also have Oregon State, Washington State, two teams that are also ranked behind us, but the thing that I think makes the Ohio State game more important than USC game is that while the Pac-12 has started off phenomenal this season, the Pac-12 always self-eliminates itself from the college football playoff. And they got Oregon State's in at 14. You have Washington State's in at 21. You also have Oregon, who takes on Colorado. And Colorado will be without Travis Hunter this week, so they're going to be a little bit damaged in this game. They won't have their best player, if you will. But Oregon's a 21-point favorite. Colorado is 19th, Oregon's 10th, so one behind us. So nothing too crazy for the teams ahead of us except for Florida State. And, I mean, I think you kind of got to root for Clemson in this game, as gross as it sounds, because if Clemson wins this game, Clemson is immediately put back in the top 25, probably even the top 15. And if they can keep stacking wins, a win against them later in the season means more. But like I said, this one right now is the most important game on the schedule. USC could take that over depending on what happens with Ohio State after we play them. But I have 38-28. I think it's a game that it might not be the most comfortable game, but I think it's more comfortable than people give us credit for coming into this game. We're the underdogs, plus 145 or plus 150, depending on wherever you bet it at. And I think that it's a great, it's probably my favorite bet of the week. I'm super biased, is what it is. You know exactly how I am, though. I'll always follow my teams into the fire. Learn the hard way tonight on the Cubs. That is what it is, though. I will be doing a marathon of college football on Saturday, so I will actually be watching this game from a phone at another game. So pray for me. I will be getting the tweets off. I am hitting the NIU-Tulsa game at 11 a.m. on Saturday and then going to Northwestern Minnesota at 6 o'clock. So that game, I think it, I hope it starts a little bit earlier. Our game starts at 6:30 Central, so 7:30 Eastern. And the game that I'm going to starts at, it also starts at 6:30. But I think the cool thing about a Northwestern Minnesota game is it'll be kind of like a pitcher's duel. There's not going to be a lot of points. It's going to be a lot of running of the football. The clock will stay moving. And, you know, there's not going to be as many touchdown breaks and commercials that we'll see in the Notre Dame Ohio State game. So I've already committed 2 phones. I will have a phone to do the tweets. I'll have a phone to watch the game. I will just probably be a little bit behind because I'll be watching on a Hulu stream. But it is what it is. I look forward to getting out to some games and enjoying them. I have not been to a game yet this year as a fan. Obviously, I go to the NIU games and cover them. I'm looking to get to South Bend at least once before the end of the season. I don't know what game I would go to. It'll probably be later in the season, and I look forward to that. It'll be my first time returning back to campus without my mom, so I will definitely be bringing some ashes of hers to the grotto. So it's a trip that I have to make. It's not if or when. It's I will be going. I just haven't decided yet which game. This one's an important one. It will be a game that people are going to be thinking I'm a nut job in the stands at this other game. Like, what is this kid screaming at? But I will probably be decked out or at least wearing like a Notre Dame hat just because I'm not. I'll be rooting for Northwestern at that game because it's the team my brother roots for. But yeah, I will be fully locked into this game, ready to roll. And I have Sunday off. So if I can do my homework on our next opponent quick enough, I could have the episode released a little bit earlier in the week. My schedule's just so hectic. But for those of you, you know, whether it's your first episode listening this week or you've tuned in all season or for the first 4 or 5 years we've done the podcast, always appreciate the support. For me, Irish, I got them in this game 38-28. I think it's a game that we can quote-unquote shock the world, even though it's a short line. People know how Notre Dame performs in these big games, but I think it's a huge game for Marcus Freeman. It's a huge game for the guys in that locker room. It's a huge game for us fans. I really, really look forward to watching this game and chatting it up with you guys, whether it's on the Twitter page or the podcast after the game. But I do appreciate everyone for listening to this week's show. As Mama would always say, Irish by a thousand. I'll drop this one because she would say this one too. But fuck Ohio State and go Irish.